Hey everybody, welcome to another pop culture kiki of Beyond the Blinds. As always, it's me, Kelly Williams.
And Troy McKeaty.
And we got to remind you, we're going on tour in like a month and we hope to see a lot of you there. DC is our first stop. It's going to be so much fun. It's our only like DMV area spot stop. So make sure to buy tickets and just hop on a train with some friends.
Or alone, because as we always say, the shows are very fun to come to alone. I know that many things going to by yourself alone is like, it gives you anxiety, but our shows are actually really fun to go to by yourself.
Totally. And everybody who goes listens to the show, except for the ones who don't, and they're so confused until about halfway through the show.
And then they're the most like rowdy, so excited. The people who don't know the show are always the people who have the most fun at the show, which is hilarious.
After our New York show, one of the like security guards came up to us and was like, "That was actually really well done."
Yeah, he was like, that was one of the best shows we've seen here.
Not to toot our own horn.
Or whatever.
One thing I wanted to talk about, we're not huge sports people. I'll watch football when it's on, but the women's college basketball is just kicking ass. And like, I think it's so incredible that it's being talked about more than like the men's March Madness, which is rare. And even I just saw prices of like the Final Four tournament. For the men, tickets are like $600, but for the women, they're 1,000.
I'm obsessed with, I didn't know that. I'm obsessed with that.
So shout out to like Caitlin Clark, Juju Watkins, Cody McMahon, Angel Reese. Like there are just so many powerful women out there kicking ass in basketball. And I feel like everyone knows Caitlin Clark. Like she's a monster. I don't know what else to say.
Honestly, I had no idea that that was like a thing that was happening. I'm upset. That's I don't like sports, but I can get on board with that.
My brother said it's because they've made betting legal for all sports. And
Oh.
like, because the female players are doing like such a good job, it's fun to bet on these games more so than like the men's tournament.
Will everybody watch Love and Basketball tonight?
And follow some women's college basketball players on Instagram. Let's get them some deals.
Yes. Shout out to women's basketball. Never thought I would be saying that on the podcast. I want to talk about Tori Spelling because, okay. So, yesterday I received a frantic text from Zach that said, you need to listen to this podcast right now because I love Tori Spelling. I'm a Tori Spelling head, okay? I'm more loyal to Tori Spelling than the rock hard breast implants that she attached to her body for 30 years and wouldn't remove. Like, I am obsessed with this woman. So I'm thinking, yeah, of course, like I've been down the typical Tori Spelling train. Like, I know what this is gonna sound like. Within 2 seconds of this podcast, it was immediately like nothing I have ever heard in my life. For one thing, she opens up immediately talking about her divorce. And it's very sort of random train of thought. Like she's just speaking out loud, like her thoughts. And she's being really candid about Dean and his addiction and him being kind of violent. And she's just rambling all of this crazy shit. And then I'm not gonna ruin it for you guys because you do need to listen. But Dean calls her because, like, I guess the day that they were recording, like they had signed or whatever. And so Dean calls and he's like, they're having this private conversation, but Tori, being the queen of exploiting her relationship, she's like, she's like, wait, Dean, what was that? What did you say that you signed and that it's really hard for you? Oh, Dean. Like she's totally trying to get him to repeat stuff for the show. It was absolutely fucking bonkers. She talked about her being allegedly homeless and how she really was just on vacation. I mean, there's one moment where she's talking about her legacy in Hollywood, and she's like, it's, she goes, it's me, Tori Spelling. I'm the girl. I'm the blonde bombshell. And she goes, I'm the one who was always asked to be in things because I'm the bombshell. And, it's like, hey, Tori, know your lines and show your belly. That's always been my role, the bombshell. I get, and she goes, right, isn't it? And her co-host is like, yeah. It was honestly one of the most enjoyable hours of my life. I'm very excited to show support to Tori weekly if I have to.
And I love that the articles that came out like after her episode, it was all about like how her daughter was begging her to not have that on the episode. And Tori was like, I have to, it's my art.
She's like, oh my God, she's talking about her dad and stuff. There was another moment where she said, she's like, you know, as somebody who grew up in a 10,000 square foot home and then moved to a 50,000 square foot home, she's just like the perfect percentage of half self-aware and half completely delusional. But it's the perfect formulation. Like, it's good, you know? She needs to be a real housewife. Like, she is so still poor little rich girl, and I love it. I just think she has one of the weirdest, most interesting, wacky stories in Hollywood, and she's just not appreciated enough. So, Tori, we love you, gal, and I'm so excited for your new project.
I want her to have Heidi Montag on the podcast. I think they would have an incredible
Oh.
conversation.
Oh my God. Just all of the reality star possibilities.
It's
Because
gonna be good. I'm excited.
me too.
So Brittany Snow was on Call Her Daddy last week, and I love Brittany Snow very much. She's very important to me. But it was nice to see her kind of open up because she's very private, I think. And she has been open about like her eating disorder and different struggles that she's had. I mean, she's run that Love Is Louder charity since we were like 14. I remember it being huge on Tumblr too. Like, she's to me is a celebrity that actually like walks the walk of what she tries to promote. And I thought it was really interesting because she actually talked about her divorce, which she's never really talked about. And Alex is asking her, like, well, when did you realize that there was trouble or there was cheating? Or she was like, well, I was on the couch watching the show with everyone else. And then she kept talking about how there are these relationships in your life that just take up so much real estate. And then she was like, no pun intended. But you just have to like let these relationships go. And for some reason, it just hit me so hard that there have been people in my life that take up this real estate that like I can't afford to lose anymore. And it was just such a good interview. And I wish Brittany Snow got fucking respect the way she deserved.
Now, are you sure you want to say that? Because I got dragged for saying that I liked the Call Her Daddy podcast. Are you sure that you want to say that on the internet?
I'm gonna stick with my girl Brittany Snow, and if she thought Call Her Daddy is where she wanted to go to share her story, I respect it.
People were so mad that I said I liked the show. Like, you guys are wild. Of
Listen, I know that it's all like PR based. I know that
course.
the questions are checked before, but what else do we have?
First of all, not only is it PR based and the questions are checked, but like, let's not also forget the fact that half these podcasts that you guys make, like the most number one podcast in the world, true crime, they're all fake. They're fake. They're not real. They have actors that are hired to host the show and pretend to be podcasters doing research. And I never hear people mention them. I mean, yeah, some of her questions are like clearly pre-selected, pre-chosen, given by the celebrity, but it's better than having a literal actor pretend to be a podcaster.
No, I agree with you. And do I love and bow down to Alex Hooper? No, but at least she's like giving us somewhere to watch celebrities in like a fun way. I don't know. Like,
Where else are you guys? If you please let me know where you're watching celebrity interviews, because I want to watch them too. I just don't know where. And I don't want to watch them do hopscotch on Jimmy Kimmel or Fallon or any of the Jimmys.
And it was just fun to watch Brittany Snow talk shit about her husband, who like her ex-husband now, who cheated on her. And
Yeah.
she actually said, if you line up all my exes in a row, you can see my type. And it's so accurate. They all have like dark hair, light eyes, a bit of facial hair, maybe a tattoo. They're buff. Like,
That's so funny. That's hilarious. I love her. I'm always rooting for her.
And listen, the only reason she wasn't as popular is because she came up in the time of Hillary and Lindsay, and there was no space for like Britney Snows or Hayden Panettiere's.
Yeah. And like Perez didn't like making fun of her, so she didn't get a lot of press coverage.
Right.
I really quickly wanted to talk about the Valley because I didn't watch the Valley last week, and now I have. You liked the show, right? You liked the Valley.
I don't know. I think like I didn't watch the second episode, but I wasn't like captivated the way a lot of viewers were, and they were like saying it's a great show. It didn't hit me the same, but a lot of Bravo shows haven't, so.
Yeah. I don't know where I fall. Like I do actually like the show way more than I expected. I like it way more than I thought I would. Like I was actually engaged. I think for me, the problem is that I'm just uninterested in like a Jax Taylor-led television show. Like I'm kind of done with Jax's brand of being a reality star. I just don't find it interesting. Now, what I will, oh no, you go. You go.
No. I'm actually excited because like I had this thought and I'm like, only Troy will get this.
Okay.
I feel like Jax studied Tyler Baltera from Teen Mom, and like even his facial reactions and him leaning so much more into his Michigan accent is so Tyler. Like his lean forward with his hands clapped and his eyes like widening and nodding his head. I'm like, that is he studied Tyler.
He's like, that guy's had therapy. I'm gonna copy that guy. That's so funny. I'm sure Tyler heard that. He just woke up in a cold sweat. No, I will. The one thing that I will say is really cool about the show is I just re well, I enjoy Kristen's brand of reality star. I don't really want to watch Jax like be a dad and mow the lawn and whatever. Like Kristen is just, she fires at all cylinders. Like she is so good on reality TV for better or for worse. Like, because she also is really self-aware. She's funny, but she's also like a little DeLulu, perfect amount, where she just makes for a good reality star. Like I just found her so like magnetic and like funny and stuff on this show.
She looks incredible.
Yeah, she really does.
And I really do think that they are trying to get just Vanderpump done and everyone move over to the Valley.
Yeah, and that's another thing is what I liked about the show is that they don't I thought that the Vanderpump cameos were going to be really like annoying and try hard, like my friend Sheena's coming over. She's a musician and she's working on some beats. Like I thought it was going to be that. But it's actually very they just kind of like exist in the same universe. Like there's no big like Lala's just there or like Sheena's just in the background at the party because she they would be there. It's not, it doesn't feel forced. And then when Kristen was like explaining how they all know each other, I was like, okay, like this feels much more natural than I kind of thought. I thought it was going to be really like fake.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. And like the newer couples don't understand reality TV.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
I forget that the guy who's super tan from Hannah Montana, Dan, David, something.
Yeah, I'll know. I won't know their names for another month at least.
Yeah, like I'm shocked at how much I actually liked him.
I agree. He seems like he's gonna be kind of a little bit of a breakout reality star on the show. The couples are all pretty interesting. Now, am I like season one Vanderpump Rules? Like, no, that's not gonna happen. I just like it more than I thought that I would, I guess. And I can see where it would become crazy and really interesting because the preview for the season like actually looks kind of insane.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it another chance. I know that I didn't watch last week, but I feel like that's one of those shows where I'll just put on in the background.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear your thoughts on the second episode because that's how they're the second episode they start kind of laying the foundation for like what the drama will be. And like so far it's just that Kristen's boyfriend is like a weird Mormon seeming towhead. Like he's just boring and Jax hates that he's boring, so he's bullying him because he doesn't like him.
Well, because Jax is in love with Kristen, as I said last week.
He is. Jax is so fucking insane.
And sometimes I like watching it, but other times I'm just like, I can't. Like, it's, I don't know. It's hard for me with him.
In this context, it's hard. Like,
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Like him telling Kristen she's not ready for a baby and all this stuff because he thinks that he's super dad. Like he's Octo Dad or something. It's like, okay, you had a kid and you're fucking 50. Get over yourself. It doesn't make you like a more elevated person. And also, I'm just so like, we're only two episodes in and we've already gotten Brittany apologizing for him 800 times. He made it. Sorry. Sorry, he pulled your pants down and showed your penis on camera. He was just joking. It was locker room. Girl, shut up. Shut the fuck up defending that man.
Well, next week I promise to be caught up so we can have like a full chat about the Valley. But I think this is the perfect way to go to Vanderpump and how the internet hates Ariana Maddox right now, which I think we all expected. But it's so intense, and like the jealousy coming from Sheena and Lala is fucking crazy.
I know. You know, I never really like thought about it, but I saw somebody say, well, a bunch of people have said this now, I guess, that it's coming from the fact that like when Lala had her big scandal, that she obviously thought that this is like how she would be sort of like received, that people would be like, oh my God, she's so strong. I can't believe she made it through. She deserves a talk show and a book and a wine deal and battery sponsorship and whatever, you know. I think she thought that that's what it would be for her, but it didn't turn out like that.
It didn't because of how it started.
Yeah.
She was
And
kind of
she
like the
was.
Raquel, right?
Totally.
Even though she wasn't friends with Randall's wife or anything, but like she was on the show being like, I suck my man's dick and get on PJs and Range Rovers. It's like it's hard to see it the same.
Well, it's hard too when the guy is like a money laundering, alleged sexual assault. Like he's like really gross. Like, you know what I mean? And her claiming not to know anything, like that whole thing is just weird. Like it's more messy. And also, we knew Randall as a person, but we only knew him on TV for like what, that one season, like a year.
Maybe two.
Yeah, like there's no emotional attachment to fucking Randall.
Totally. And even I saw people being like, I can't believe Ariana had leftovers on her nightstand and then her dog got sick. It's like, but Tom left the dog in there for hours.
Right.
So, but it's on Ariana because she's like leaving left. Like it's not adding up, you know? Tom still locked a dog in a room for hours and didn't realize it.
Yeah, the inevitable turn on Ariana. I didn't think it would happen so fast. I thought it would take a little bit longer, but it is really interesting. Like it's just like, wow, you guys waste no time. Like, you know what I mean? Like hating a woman. People just cannot wait.
Say thank you, Lala, for allowing this scandal to buy you a $3 million home in the valley.
I know. And Sheena as well, like Sheena's podcast fucking blew up because of this, and they milked it. I mean, I hate to agree with Tom, but they did. They milked it into fucking high heaven. Like, you can't have your cake and eat it too and be like, I'm so deceived and I'm in so much pain. Like, it's been a year, Sheena. Are you really in trembling pain because he cheated on his girlfriend? You are. You made so much money off of this.
Absolutely. And we have defended Sheena many times, and I still love like her delusion. I think she makes an incredible reality star. But like I can't believe I'm about to agree with Nick Viall, but Sheena, I mean, Ariana has like outgrown Sheena. Sheena should be friends with Tom Sandoval because they're cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, and there would be much more respect there if you would just say, listen, I'm gonna be friends with this person. Like, I hate what you guys went through, but he and I had a friendship outside of this that had nothing to do with you. And I'm on my own journey with him. I got involved in some court shit. There's a way to say what she's saying without sounding like an asshole, but she can't just own it, you know? She has to do all of these theatrics to make it seem like she just fell into this situation. Like, she's been so hurt. It's so painful for her. She's trying so hard. And it's like calling Ariana crying about the the highs and lows of her and Tom. It's like, just say you want to be friends with her. We don't need a stage production.
Exactly. And there's nothing wrong with Ariana not wanting to associate with Tom Sandoval.
Right.
And of course, they can't, Lala can't be like, I'm filming a fucking show. I have to do this.
Yeah.
But like, it's become more than just I'm filming a show. It's become like, oh, now she's hosting Love Island, you know?
Totally. Yeah.
I am excited for the reunion because apparently Lala and Ariana really get into it.
Yeah, I'm excited for that too. I'm ready to see it. I mean, Lala drives me insane, but she's a great reality star. Because you like there are moments where she's so the thing that I love about reality people like Lala is like sometimes she's the voice of reason, sometimes she's the villain, sometimes she's like the jester, she's like the funny one, sometimes she's completely delusional. Like you don't really kind of know where she'll fall. It's always interesting, at least.
I actually liked her better as a villain. I thought that that role suited her really well. And this whole like back and forth, I'm like, just lean in because I think that's what you want. I think you want to be the villain here or be the bad guy somehow. So just do it.
Yeah, just lean in. But now she wants to be like mother. She knows everything. She's been through everything. There's nothing that you've been through that she hasn't tenfold. She is the wise one. She's enlightened. You know, she's Buddha. It's like, it's so annoying. This is just a little quick note because there's like not really much to add, but the entire cast of Roni is coming back, and I stand firm on the way that I felt about it last year. I know that people have these crazy issues with Sai because she's so annoying. She's the worst, blah, blah, blah. We all love Jessel. It'll turn. It'll turn. This isn't my first time at the rodeo, honey. It will turn. You guys will probably hate Jessel this year, and Sai will be the favorite. Blah, blah, blah. Like I'm happy that everybody is coming back, including Jenna.
Well, I'm curious as a longtime viewer, like, how do you feel about Jenna not wanting to show her relationship at all? Like, do you think that sets, like, I don't want to say a scary precedent, but you know what I mean? Like, that people will be able to hide more now on those shows.
I think it's a little, the thing that's annoying about her is like there are other housewives who have decided to not show their relationships and it's fine, but you have to like give in other ways. Do you know what I mean? Like if you're not going to show your relationship, then like be really candid about this or that or whatever. She's closed off about everything in her life, except for like her childhood trauma and stuff, which is cool, and that's cool to hear her talk about that. But I don't know. I don't. I'm anxious to see what it'll look like now because she's gotten so much shit for that, and I'm assuming she'll be much more comfortable on camera. She'll be more confident filming the show. Like, I don't know. I wonder if she'll like right those wrongs this season and like kick it into high gear.
Yeah, I'm willing to see if she does it, but like, I wasn't excited to see her back. I think Jenna Lyons is like too cool, honestly. I think she's like the cool girl. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
But I don't know. I hope she gives more and. I actually think Sai's gonna be fun. I think Sai's a fun person to dislike. And I think Erin's really fun to dislike. Like, it's fun to dislike someone who reminds me of Jennifer Aniston because of how much like I love Jennifer
Yeah. Yeah, I think that they're good villains. And
Aniston.
I said that last season and people didn't agree, but I stand on business. I think the way that Sai ignited the audience, she's an incredible villain. Like, and she didn't ignite them in like an Anne Marie way where she was just annoying and everybody was like, we just hate you. She ignited people because she's so dynamic. Like, there are things about her personality that you can't help but gravitate towards. And you want to talk about somebody who's open? Like, everybody was so mad about Jenna not being open and not sharing. And people said that as well about Uba, which they have every right to say because she was like hiding stuff. Sai gave you her fucking bone marrow on that show. Like she showed everything. She was as open as you could be. So I'm excited for Sai to come back.
I'm excited. I hope Brie gets more of like, or Brynn, I'm sorry. I hope Brynn gets more of a moment. See, I even said her name wrong. Like, she has so much to give, and there's so much there. I'm like, just peel back, like, I just want to fucking like have fun and stuff. Like, peel that back a little and tell me like why you're doing that.
The coquettish thing is so, I got so sick of it towards the end. Oh my God. But yeah, I'm excited for them to all be back together, and like I think second seasons with new casts is like imperative. Like I think you really see by the second season how they've like grown real friendships, real bonds, real drama, not like you didn't eat the cheese at my party. Like now they really know each other, you know?
Let's hope Erin has food at her parties.
Please, for the love of God, and let's hope that Sai brought some like Pepto-Bismol just in case, so we don't have to hear about it for 5 fucking months.
Eilish like can't say anything. I think people want Billie Eilish to have a downfall so bad, but she's just kind of like she'll say something and then it'll get twisted. And with Billboard, she mentioned how she doesn't want to do a bunch of variations of albums because she thinks it's wasteful. And of course, everyone right away is like, Taylor Swift, you're talking about Taylor Swift. And it's like, first of all, yes, Taylor Swift is the queen of capitalism. We've talked about it before, but like a lot of artists do that now. Like Olivia Rodrigo just came out with multiple vinyls. Those are the only two I know off the top of my head. But even like Lorde with her Solar Power album, she just released it digitally because she thought it was like wasteful to come out with a bunch of different copies and prints. And I don't think Billie Eilish is crazy for saying that because it is insane that Taylor Swift has like, let's collect all different five vinyls for, capitalism. And it's also bad for the environment.
I mean, I totally agree with what you said about her people wanting, they're ready for like the downfall of Billie. Like they've been looking for a reason to be like, let's hate her now because we've been too nice for too long. And it's just so annoying. And it goes back to the relatability thing. Like, why do you need to why do you feel like you need to be aligned with everything a fucking artist says that you don't know and who will never know you? She's allowed to not want to do that. It doesn't have anything to do with her talent or her like ability to write a song or sing. She's allowed to not want to do that, even if your favorite artist has done it. Shut the fuck up. Like, why does everybody have to be so relatable? Oh my God.
I agree with you. And the thing is, Billie could do that because I don't know if Billie's an industry plant, so to speak, but the industry has definitely like put their hooks in her, so to speak. So it probably pisses the industry off that she's not doing that. So let's give her some credit for like giving pushback.
Let that girl live. Let
See,
that girl live.
and let her perform without Phineas next to her.
Right. And let her be a young girl with like a body. Just allow that to happen. Like, just stop. Like, I'm so sick of people needing to have the same moral values and compass and shit as a random celebrity. Like she's a teenage girl that a multimillionaire that you will never in your life get to know on a personal level. Why do you care?
And what's so crazy about her, it's like, okay, wait, I have slime green hair. I'm singing bad guy wearing baggy clothes. You don't like that. Okay. I'm gonna dye my hair blonde and sing a beautiful ballad. Oh, wait. You don't want me to show my body? Okay, I'm gonna come out as queer. Wait, am I not queer enough yet? Like, how? Yeah, I do have sympathy for Billie.
I do too. I feel the same way that Justin Bieber felt about her when he was like weeping and saying, leave her alone. Like, don't do to her what you did to me because she's so talented and she's like a nice person.
And she's only what, 22 probably at this point, and she's already been through so many like non-controversy controversies.
And it's honestly the same people who love like tearing someone like her down that will then, when the story comes back around full circle, they're the ones that are commenting like, oh, we did her so wrong. Oh, she deserved better. It's like, shut up. You know what I mean? Aren't you sick? Like, are we not all sick of this endless fucking cycle of like taking talented women and fucking destroying them from the inside out and then being sad after that we did it?
Right. If Billie Eilish was to crack tomorrow and say, have like, I don't know, a shave your head type of moment or whatever, I would not blame her for one second.
No, I wouldn't either. And if I was her, I would be so fucking mean.
Yeah.
Mean, clearly. I would fucking treat my fans like garbage if I was her, because they're crazy. They're lunatics.
And I treat everyone else's fans like garbage too, because those are the ones that
Yeah.
like really attack her.
Fuck the Swifties. Fuck whatever Olivia's calling her fans. Fuck all of you. Yeah.
What does she call her fans?
I don't know. I don't know if they have a name yet. They'll figure it out, I'm sure.
The licensed drivers.
Yeah,
Now would be a good time to let you know that this episode is sponsored by Nutrafol. Hair thinning is complicated. The problem is, it's actually much bigger than your hair alone. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health, and internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker, stronger hair. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Everyone's root causes of hair thinning are different, so a one size fits all approach to hair growth doesn't cut it. Nutrafol has multiple formulas that are tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow throughout different stages, such as postpartum and menopause, as well as for different lifestyles, such as plant-based diets. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficiency. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol women's hair growth supplements for 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code BLINDS. Find out why over 4,500 hair care professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled NUT. RAFOL.com, promo code blinds. Again, that's Nutrafol.com, promo code blinds.
This week's episode is sponsored by Factor. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. I know that for myself, I always say my favorite thing about Factor is that I can bring it with me when I travel. We are going on tour soon, and there's nothing better than having like fresh, like actually seasoned. I love to make that a point. Factor seasons their meals. Fresh seasoned meals that are healthy and good for me, which means I don't have to eat at the airport. I don't have to order some like sloppy, gross food that's going to make me feel sick. It's just nice to have it with you. Get chef prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready to eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Head to factormeals.com/blinds50 and use code blinds50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code blinds50 at factormeals.com/blinds50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios in Wondery comes the competition.
Host Shima Olieyi was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she is returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks of 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after?
Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Troy, I need to talk about the worst movie I've ever seen.
Okay.
Ricky Stenicki on Amazon Prime, I
believe. Oh, okay. Oh, God.
So if everyone isn't aware, it's a Zac Efron and John Cena movie. It definitely started off as like a raunchy comedy that would be in like the early 2000s, which I love. I think the movie No Hard Feelings with Jennifer Lawrence did a good job like with that vibe. So it starts out and John Cena has a Vegas show where he makes like popular songs about dicks. So we see a few performances about dick songs and it's beautiful. And he's dressed like Britney Spears at one point. It's a whole thing. So the first like 40 minutes of this movie, not too bad, but going from like Iron Claw Zach to this Zach, whiplash. And I swear they wrote half this script and then just let AI finish the rest of it because I couldn't finish it.
To me, this gives not only AI, but it's got Muhammad Al-Turki vibes. Like, it just is, the theme of it is weird. The fact that Zach and him are starring in it together is weird. It's just odd. I always like side-eye any Zach project now. Mm-hmm. I'm always like, oh God, you know, what did he have to do? This is just really giving, like, we need money. Somebody needed a paycheck. I don't know who it was. I don't know who he had to give it to or if it was for him. But it's just, and it's so like, this is the most confusing thing about Zach's career and why it does feel like he has people that make decisions for him, allegedly, if that's true, if you've listened to our Zach episode, because it doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. It is illogical that he will go from doing these movies like Iron Claw, and then he'll do these where like, why? Like literally why?
And the thing is, Zac Efron's funny. He was great in Neighbors. That Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. I thought he was funny. Bad Grandpa. But he wasn't even, like, funny in this movie.
And it's not like he has... It's not like he's J-Lo, where it's like, God, we just love him in a rom-com so much that there's nothing else that we want to see him in. That's not the case. Mm-mm. We don't love Zac Efron in these little comedies so much that it's all we want from him. So I don't know why he feels like he has to keep coming back to these like Walmart bin DVD movies. Again, it just feels like this wasn't his choice to me.
And the thing is, I would love to see Zac Efron in a real rom-com.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, not fucking whatever this John Cena shit was.
I totally. What female rom-com queen would you pair him up against?
Ooh, you know, he loved working with Zendaya in Greatest Showman. Mm-hmm. And I thought they worked really well together. I would love to see them do like a rom-com mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like him and like Jennifer Lawrence could be really funny on screen. Or Emma Stone.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Him and Emma. Whoa. That just opened up a whole Pandora's box in my head. That would be incredible. I also feel like he would be fun in a movie up against Kiki.
I was going to say Quinta.
Oh, that would be great too. That would be great. See, yeah. Just in this 3 seconds, we've done much better for him than Muhammad.
Zach, you can hire us.
We will not make you ride horseback with anybody.
You don't even need to pay us.
No, we'll pay you. We'll pay you. So I haven't talked about this in a while, but I just watched a episode of a podcast. It's called Next Mood Swing Podcast. And the host of it was on a show. I don't know if this will trigger any of you, but AfterBuzz was like a podcast network that doesn't exist anymore. And I used to be a big AfterBuzz person. Like, did you ever listen to or watch AfterBuzz?
I definitely watched a few.
Like the challenge?
Yeah, for the challenge. And I think Kristen Cavallari was on maybe like a few times. So, but if it was a challenge person, I'd watch.
Yeah, they kind of specialized in like reality TV. So they would have like cast members from the Bad Girls Club or cast members from Teen Mom. Like a lot of the Teen Moms would go on all the time. And like it was very early podcasting era, like years and years, like 10 years ago.
I can remember like the set of it.
Like the yellow. Yeah. That was like my intro to podcasting, kind of was listening to those people. But neither here nor there. So Julie from Bad Girls Club was on his show and she talked about Zeus Network. And Julie, I love Julie from the Bad Girls Club. And she has been kind of at the forefront of trying to expose what is going on at that network because obviously a lot of her friends and people that she knows is like going on these Zeus shows and then leaving with horror stories. And I joke about the Zeus Network a lot, but like hearing her talk about it really put it into perspective, like just how insane it is that this is happening in front of our faces, that these girls are leaving this show saying like there are pimps on set openly, like openly pimps on set, like just trafficking these fucking women. She talked about how some of the cast members will be like homeless and they get asked to be on these shows. They're obviously, and it's in quite like you have to do sexual favors to be on Zeus Network. They're very open about it. So you have homeless women that are sleeping in their cars and then filming this show, being forced to basically chicken fight with other women, given a couple $1,000, forced to have sex with a bunch of different people, security and producers and shit, and then being told to go back to your car to go to sleep after you've been exploited and beaten up. It's just like, it's really, really fucking insane. And I just feel like we are on the cusp of something really bad happening with Zeus because it's so popular now. It's not niche. It's a phenomenon. Every young person is watching the Zeus Network. And for me, my final straw was the cast of Baddies and the cast of Jocelyn's Cabaret. They did like a wilding out thing with Nick Cannon. And if you have listened to our Nick Cannon episode, obviously they didn't get into this on Next Mood Swing. But if you've listened to our Nick Cannon episode and you know the kind of shit that he's allegedly involved in with these women and these baby mamas and the trafficking and the prostitution and the pimping out of women, to see him, because everybody was like, why is Nick Cannon doing this? Like, why? I know exactly fucking why he's doing this. This is exactly on brand for him. And for me, it just confirmed everything. You really, I mean, to be a celebrity and be comfortable with seeing women that have their pimps and their handlers and minders on set with them, beating them up and shit, and like negotiating their sex price in front of a crew. That is like, I just feel like something really bad is gonna happen. And I don't know. And it's especially like after the last season of Baddies, like the stuff that happened with Smiley, this woman who's having a literal seizure, and they decided to air her seizure for an hour of her vomiting. And I mean, it's unimaginable stuff. And I'm just really, I am like nervous and I'm scared for these women.
Do you think this is tied could be tied to like Diddy at all? 'Cause is T.I. involved with Zeus?
Okay, so it's funny that you say that because the other day, this interview went kind of viral on Twitter of this cast member T, who used to be on Wild 'n Out, and so she's like very familiar with like all of those people. She was interviewing, it was an old interview from years and years ago where she was interviewing Young Miami,
Okay.
and she brings up like, oh, we've met each other before. Remember we met at. She was alluding that they've basically had an orgy. To make a long story short. And Young Miami like didn't know what she was talking about. And then she like came to the realization and they were being really, really weird and cryptic. It was very clear that they were talking about like they have literally fucked each other. And that's a random cast member from Wild 'n Out who has been involved in Diddy's parties. So you can only imagine. Again, this goes back to like you and I talked about this with Quiet on Set. Like To me, this is a front. Baddies is a way to make a bunch of fucking money, to make a dirt cheap show with barely any production, no storyline. The show is about nothing. But it gathers a bunch of desperate women who have no money, that are desperate to be famous, some of them homeless, some of them already being pimped out and trafficked. And they are having their cake and eating it too. So they get to have a prostitution ring and also make a bunch of money and sell this fake dream to teenagers. Because it's young kids that watch this show. And it's like crazy how much it's influencing them. Like, this is not... I understand that millennials grew up watching Bad Girls Club and it was very gross. But this is not Bad Girls Club. This makes Bad Girls Club seem like immaculate. Like, it's like literally like a nun convention. Like, it is so troubling. So yeah, that's, I just wanted to point that out.
It's funny how you described like the situation that they're in with like all these pimps around them, all this stuff. It almost reminds me of like Love Island in a way, because allegedly that's just like a yachter catalog on TV. And it sounds like Zeus is kind of the same.
Yeah. Imagine Love Island if the budget was negative.
Oh my God.
Like, the budget is nothing. It is, we Airbnb houses. We have them for a few hours. You guys go in the houses, you fight. We'll show the unedited fights because this isn't on a network. We'll show some titties. And that's it. And then you better fuck everybody on set if you want to be on the show. And they all do it.
That's so sad.
I know. So shout out to Julie. I love her.
So obviously there was a little album dropped last week. I don't know if anyone's heard of it. It's called Cowboy Carter. Just a little thing by a little artist named Beyonce. Troy, I need to know all of your Cowboy Carter thoughts.
Oh, I'm glad that we waited to talk about this. I'm glad that we've had time to like a whole week, basically. Because it has taken me a whole week to like put my thoughts together about how I feel about this album. I think it's my favorite Beyonce album.
Okay.
Yeah, which is really saying a lot. I am just so like, I think that this is the most personal album that Beyonce's ever released. It is the most free and like artistic and just weird that she's ever been able to be. And the thing that I love about it is that it's like, you know, people keep saying like, it's not a country album, it's a Beyonce album. And I kind of get that, because it's country in the sense that it's like from the perspective of a girl who grew up in Houston, like right in front of the Chitlin Circuit. And like, this is her life, like the rodeo and all of this shit is all she's ever known. But it's also such a unique perspective as a Black woman who like studied the history of her country roots. Mm-hmm. So it is unique in the sense that it's a Beyonce album and it's not really a country album, I guess. But it's so fucking good. And on top of it, it's all different kinds of country. It's like Beyonce's idea of what country could even mean. It's like all these different things. Like, sometimes it's Grand Ole Opry. Sometimes it's like Houston trap music. Sometimes it's like, it feels like mainstream country radio, like Levi's Jeans. It's like every facet of what she feels like country music can mean to her. And I just think that that's so cool. I've literally not stopped listening to it for days. It's psycho.
I think one of my favorite things that she did throughout the album was like the Willie Nelson radio introduction, because she knows country radio is not going to play it.
Yeah.
So she made her own country radio. And I thought that was like so smart. And I'm like, that's going to go over so many people's heads that the reason she made it a radio show is because they're not going to play her.
Right. And like that, I love that aspect of it, that it's so like theatrical. It's like a play. And it really actually, to me, does feel like something that is playing at the Grand Ole Opry. Like, it's a mix between live and like radio. And I just picture like a big velvet curtain dropping and opening back up. And it's like a different section. I love the cameos. Like, it's just like playful and it's fun. But it's also really, really serious and really heartfelt and emotional, but it's like fun too at the same time. It's like one of the most fun Beyoncé albums ever, I think.
And I really got to listen to it like at the airport, which I liked because like I fucking hate the airport, but it gave me something to focus on. And
Totally.
I was on the plane when Daughters came on, and the way I completely fucking lost it. Like Bodyguard, I think is my favorite song on the album, but something about that song just like, ooh, it hit me at the right time. You know what I mean?
Oh yes, she does that. She'll do that to you. Yeah, I highlighted some of my the ones that I'm like at this moment really feeling, even though they change every day. Like every day there's a different one in my head. I'm obsessed with American Requiem. Blackbird made me cry the first time I heard it. I was like, okay, so this is what we're doing. I think her version of Jolene is fucking insanity. It is insane. You didn't like that at first, did you?
I still don't really. I think that's my least favorite song on the album.
Yeah.
And it's not that I have like some hold over Jolene, like Dolly Parton's version or whatever. It's like I think she was really like clever to make Becky and Jolene kind of the same character. But I
Yeah.
don't know. I just didn't love it.
Yeah.
I think it's hard when it's a song being like, you better stay away from my man when like you stayed with Jay-Z after Lemonade.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not gonna like be like, it's because it's not the original Joe. Do you know what I mean?
No, I get it. I've seen a lot of people say that, like the criticism of like, why are you framing this? Why are you always basically framing songs to like blame the woman that Jay-Z cheats on you with? Even if that's not true, it's what you are, it's the narrative that you're giving people.
Yeah, and again, like Becky with the blonde hair, Jolene with the red hair, like it's incredible. It's so clever, but again, like it just did not connect for me. It feels like out of place in the album for me.
Okay. What other songs do you like or not like?
I really like Spaghetti, which I wasn't really expecting. I thought Alligator Tears was really good.
Oh.
Yeah. I saw a tweet that said white people are gonna run Yaya into the ground. I am white
Yeah.
people. That is
Yeah.
me. And then of course,
Mm.
Tyrant was great. And then where's the song with oh, Two Most Wanted?
Yeah. Two Most Wanted also made me cry.
I never thought their voices would work the way that they did.
I think everybody felt like that. It was like, whoa, this was like meant to happen. And I talked about this in our most recent happy hour, but I was saying that this version of Miley, well, the song and this version of Miley reminds me very much of a guilty Miley Cyrus pleasure of mine, Butterfly Fly Away. If you've never seen the AOL sessions of Miley performing that song, it is one of the most, it confirmed my love for her years ago. And I thought, this is, I'm like betting on Miley Cyrus. Like, she's the moment. It is so that song coded. It's like that era of Miley, like, where it was like she could do country. Nobody really knew where she would go, but she was still real twangy. Oh, I loved it. But yeah, that song is so good.
Miley needs to lean into those like slow ballads more, or like a pop ballad, like Slide Away, the songs that haven't gotten the love that they deserve.
Yeah, her voice is just, it makes you, it's just like so emotional.
And I have to say, like, Beyoncé getting Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson on her album, like, no one in country music can say she's not country because she got like the president and first lady of country on her first country album.
Speaking of her not being country, I just really wanted to quickly read this quote from her W magazine. I actually thought the article was like really good. It's short, but it was good. And it says, long before yeehaw aesthetics entered mainstream, Beyoncé was rocking Western get-ups and music videos for Bugaboo, thanks to her mother, Tina Knowles, a seamstress with Louisiana Creole roots. As Beyonce put it in a 2016 Council of Fashion Designers of America, the CFDA award speech, designers hardly jumped at the opportunity to dress Black country curvy girls. So Miss Tina took control and dressed the group as rhinestone cowgirls in matching chaps and a rainbow of colors, glitter-trimmed rancher hats, and asymmetrical rawhide crop tops. Cowboy Carter is a reminder that Beyonce wasn't born a cowboy, she became one. Growing up in Houston, she was a regular at the famed Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo and quickly became transfixed by riders wrestling bulls beneath bright lights. When Destiny's Child hit the MTV TRL scene in the late 90s, the group blended R&B realness with an authentic Texas twang, specifically on a cover of Sail On, a country-flavored ballad written by Lionel Richie for the Commodores that they released in their 1998 self-titled debut. She returned to her hometown rodeo four times as a member of Destiny's Child and a budding solo performer to promote Dangerously in Love. She rode horseback into the stadium. So I don't know how much people need to be reminded or beat over the head with the fact that this isn't like a random thing for her. If anything, it's like the most natural music she's ever made, which is, and it feels that way. Yeah, I just love it. I love it so much. I can't wait to keep listening to it and like having new songs just like wash over me.
And there are a lot of rumors that she's going to be dropping tickets on Friday for this. And I cannot recommend the website Ticket Crusader more than like anything on this planet. They have so many codes. Like I was able to get Usher tickets because I had the presale code, but they had the city presale code. So ticketcrusader.com, it's a life changer if you want to get like good tickets before they go on sale, pretty much.
I added it to my favorites immediately after you told me about it.
It's so worth it. And it's not something that's going to like give you a virus or anything. It's a legit website.
Like it is a Russian site, but hear me out.
It will give me your information, but
it's like, why does it need my blood type again, Kelly? So ending things, obviously we have to talk about Matthew Underwood, who recently released a statement on his Instagram talking about, you know, his relationship with Bryan Singer, or Jesus, I'm getting my creeps mixed up. His relationship with Dan Snyder. Snyder? Who am I? You guys know who I'm talking about. And he releases really long statement. Basically, I won't read the entire thing. If you go to his Instagram, I can just read it.
Just read it, Troy. I'll
read it. He said, I know many folks want me to respond to the Quiet on Set documentary. I'm going to share something with you that I've never thought I'd have to talk about publicly, as it honestly is none of your business anyway. When I was 12 years old, I was groomed and molested by my best friend's stepfather. I lost the best friend I'd ever had because I couldn't spend any time with him without feeling the personal disgust and betrayal brought on by a man I trusted as a father to me. When I was 19, I was sexually harassed and then assaulted by my agent at the time, who had spent a decent amount of time building trust with me as a friend and a mentor. Again, my trust was betrayed and my self-image was crushed. I reported him to the agency and he has since been fired, although he is still active in the industry. This experience provoked my move away from LA and ended my pursuit of acting. Why am I telling you this? Well, lately many people have been blowing up my email telling me that they hope me and my mom die, that we will burn in hell because I am being called a pedophile defender and all that jazz. I have spent many years rebuilding my self-image and those hateful words have little effect on me today. But I imagine many of my friends in the business are being equally harassed if they aren't joining the chorus. So I'm sharing this with hope that some of you can recognize that just because a person doesn't shout from the rooftops that pedophiles are bad or that people can suck, that does not mean that they don't have their own reasons for staying silent, good reasons and personal reasons. I have extreme empathy for anyone who has been taken advantage of by people they trusted. I hope that they are able to grow and love themselves and have great support from their family and friends in their journey of recovery. I also ask that you all take a few moments to consider why someone might not share their experiences publicly and not immediately shame them for reserving their right to privacy. I never had a bad experience working on set of a Nickelodeon show. I never had a bad experience with Dan. I have nothing to add to the conversation that anyone would care to hear. I like to believe people have the capacity to be better humans, and Dan appears to recognize that he has been an asshole in his past. I like to believe that he is capable of being a creator and coworker everyone can enjoy working with. I have no expectation to work with him again. This is just me wanting good for anyone who wants to be better. So please take a moment and consider that some people might not be making statements because talking about this kind of thing brings up memories and emotions that are difficult to deal with, and they have every right to be silent. I can't believe I even have to say this, but of course, I don't fucking support pedophiles. Please stop wishing death upon my family, and please reconsider harassing other actors who wish to maintain their privacy. You never know who has already been a victim of the hell that you are wishing upon them.
Don't you love how normal everyone is now and how everyone can like handle things so normally?
When I saw that, I was like, oh my goodness.
You know, we said it at the top of our Quiet on Set episode. Like, everyone who shares their story, incredible. It's incredible to do that. But if you don't feel comfortable sharing your story, that's also okay. It doesn't mean that you're like supporting Brian Peck just because you didn't say fuck Brian Peck publicly.
Totally. And like, just because you watched a documentary that moved you on a random day during the week, 20 years after most of this shit happened, long, well over 15 years at least, that this shit has been public and on the internet. Just because you watched an ID Network documentary doesn't mean every single person needs to be on your timeline. Mm-hmm. So it means that you now need to be Xena Warrior Princess of the internet and like sending people death threats and shit because they're not talking about this the way that you wish that they would. Like, that is so narcissistic and so insane. And it just shows that a lot of these people who like think that they're doing a good thing by, in quotes, calling people out. These are the same people who claim to be tell it like it is, but they're just fucking asshole, mean people. Mm-hmm. That's what you're doing. You're gonna fucking bully people into being open about their molestation. You know, because you watched a documentary that about a bunch of shit that a lot of people already knew.
Yeah, I think everyone just needs to chill out a little. I think Quiet on Set like surprised a lot of people. You know, this is something you and I have talked about for a long time. So I get like that reaction being like, why the fuck isn't Ariana Grande? Why isn't so-and-so talking? Like all these different people, why aren't they talking out? But it's like probably for a reason.
Absolutely. This stuff is so complicated. And like, we are not privy to like the blackmail, the bullying. I mean, you think Diddy is the only person blowing up cars?
Right.
Come on. Like, people have kids. Like, you just don't know other people's circumstances. Or like he said, maybe they're just not ready to talk about something so traumatic. Like, Drake Bell only just became comfortable talking about it 20 years after it happened. Like, I don't know. I just think that's so... It's like, pull your head out of your ass. Like, who are you to think that you are controlling this timeline?
And if you don't like something, or if you're, say, if you were genuinely mad Matthew Underwood didn't say anything, block him. You have to be your own gatekeeper. If you don't like a podcast, don't hit play. Right. If you don't like following someone on social media, block or mute them. If you don't like, you have to be your own gatekeeper.
That's your Housewives tagline. Be your,
own gatekeeper. My God, yeah. I wish more people would.
That is so, it's such a good point though. And also, like, you being your own gatekeeper doesn't mean that you have to give like a you don't have to give like a public 7-page letter every time you make some decision to unfollow somebody or, you know, not listen to something or whatever. It's like, just nobody cares. Just shut up.
Yeah, I guess, say, even like Shakira made a comment about the Barbie movie that I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept scrolling.
Yeah, no death threat.
No, and honestly, all these kids that have been on Nickelodeon, Disney, whatever, they've already been put through their hell, whether mm-hmm. they spoke about it or not, whatever. Like, even the Ned Declassified cast, like, they were all fucking and doing drugs at 13. Whether mm-hmm. they realize it now or not, that's, like, not okay that that was happening.
Absolutely. And I think we also have to take into account that a lot of these people have watched other people try and come forward, and it didn't work out so well for them. So what would make them then want to expose themselves if they've seen their friends try and talk about it? Or I'm assuming that Ricky Garcia has friends that he worked with at his show that experienced the same thing as him, but he's talking about himself because who knows what those people's stories are, you know? But when he did come out, nobody gave a fuck and he ruined his career. So, you know?
So just leave like all the Nickelodeon kids alone, please.
No, don't send death threats to to people that have been abused. Like, what?
And with that, we will leave you for the week. We hope that we instilled some wisdom there.
Who better to get it from than these two wise owls? We love you very much.
I'm like, I'm gonna go take a walk.
Like, I'm gonna go pick up smoking again. I'll be back.
But seriously, thank you guys so much for listening and not sending us, well, I can't say that. And just like listening to us, and we love reading like the comments on Patreon, our DMs. Like, I will say we are very lucky that we get a lot of positive.
And that people are so engaged. Speaking of, I want to know people's Cowboy Carter song thoughts. Like, I want to hear thoughts about the album. Because I just saw a creator on TikTok getting dragged because she's, of course, some white girl being like, I didn't like that. And I thought it was boring. And I really hate songs. And the whole comment section just literally dragging her. So I'm anxious to hear people's like thoughts about the album.
And what sucks is you know that girl, like she'll listen to Morgan Wallen and be like, now that's real country.
She goes, the Blackbird cover was just boring.
Like Blackbird's like a beautiful, boring song. It just is what it is.
Sorry, it's not like a fucking Flo Rida moment. So sorry.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope to see you at live shows and be your own gatekeeper.
Love you. Bye.